Tango Tango Papa 1675, August 2nd, 2012.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Livonia, Michigan. It's been, I don't know, probably about a week or upwards of a week since the last podcast. I had intended to put one out, about 3 days ago, two or three days ago. But came back to work, and I've been really, really busy, too busy to record a podcast. All I've really had time to do is drive the truck and sleep. So, anyway, I've got some files that I'm going to play. I recorded files while I was, of course, I went to the Glenn Beck event last Saturday. Rode my motorcycle down to Dallas and went to the Glenn Beck event, Restoring Love at Cowboys Stadium, which that's quite an amazing place, and had a really good time there. And then came back and was supposed to go back to work on Monday. And they did send a load on Monday, but the load didn't load until Tuesday in Russellville. I've got a file where I'll be talking about that a little bit later, and then so picked that up on Tuesday, and then after that I was kind of racing here and there for work. So in any case, before I go on, I want to talk a bit about GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. This summer, you and your team will probably be working from different locations, but just because you're away from the office doesn't mean that business stops. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting. You can meet online with clients and colleagues from anywhere. GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plans online, and with HD Faces, you just add a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. You can even participate in an HD Faces meeting from your iPad. So you can connect from wherever you are. Maybe you're at a vacation or at the beach, park with your kids, or even your backyard. You'll love GoToMeeting. It's an amazing product. The thing is, we have a lot of different ways of communicating. And what I've found is that, you know, people think, well, I can use this or I can use that instead, and I can do these things kind of, you know, take a sort of a homemade meal approach. Whereas sometimes what's called for is a fast food, kind of more of a fast food or an approach where you just go, you get something and it's got just the elements you need. And there are often times where that really is better than kind of the roll your own or, the homemade meal approach. Because, you know, it's fine to make a homemade meal, but if you have to buy all the bulk ingredients, and it takes time and a lot of talent and so forth to make that work right. Whereas, you know, you can just go to a restaurant and get the meal, and you're off on your way. And oftentimes, that is makes you much more productive. It's kind of like the really good apps, the best apps on an iPod or an iPad or a phone take just the elements you need and put those in a really super usable form, and you can really tell that, for example, you can really tell, like a banking app, for example, my banking app actually works better and it's easier and it's faster than going to the website, and it gives me all the elements I need. So GoToMeeting really does that. So work smarter this summer with GoToMeeting with HD Faces. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for the special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST. So that takes care of that. So what we're going to do now is kind of jump on in to the audio that I recorded while I was in Dallas. And so we'll be back in a bit. Tom here. I'm recording this from Dallas, Texas. I'm in my motel room. I'm staying at a Days Inn that is maybe a couple of miles or so from Cowboys Stadium. And so my friend and I left early this morning, left Arkansas early this morning, and came down here to Dallas. Stopped several times along the way to fill the motorcycles up with gas, and also to eat. Ended up eating at Atoka, Oklahoma. And then, first stop was IKEA in Frisco, Texas. That's a suburb of Dallas. So went in IKEA and kind of looked that place around, and ended up eating there again. It was probably about, 4:30 or 5 o'clock. Ate there, and actually the food was quite good and very inexpensive. I was very impressed with it. Generally very impressed with the store. I didn't buy anything, but don't really have any way of hauling it home on the motorcycle. It couldn't be, if I bought something, it couldn't be very big. So I didn't buy anything, but neat store. So, as I said, I left home. We left my house. It was probably about, it was about 8 o'clock or maybe a little bit before 8 a.m. this morning. And got probably, more than 100 miles away, and I was just kind of riding my motorcycle, and all of a sudden I realized that I forgot something, and I forgot I had bought the tickets to the Glenn Beck Restoring Love event. That's why we came down here to Dallas. That is tomorrow evening, Saturday evening at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. is when that is. And so I had bought the tickets online, and then they sent the tickets, and so I had the tickets there in an envelope at home. And so in any case, was partway here, partway to Dallas, and all of a sudden I realized that I'd gotten everything else. I even made a list of things so that I wouldn't forget anything. But one thing wasn't on the list, and that was the tickets. And so I realized I didn't bring the tickets. And so what I ended up doing, I called my parents, and they were able to find the tickets in the house because I had them in a safe location in my, I had them on on the shelf on the dresser in my bedroom. So they were able to find them, and so I told them to FedEx them, use FedEx, FedEx them with a Saturday delivery to the motel here where I'm staying. And so hopefully, FedEx is pretty reliable, so hopefully those will be showing up. But kind of got myself in a little bit of a pickle, and hopefully FedEx will be able to kind of extract me from the pickle. But I don't generally receive tickets. This is the first time I've ever ordered tickets through Ticketmaster. By the way, you know, I'm kind of surprised that they did, you know, because there's a lot of tickets now that they're doing right within apps, and all you do is just show them the screen. You know, I've heard people talk about that, but apparently Ticketmaster doesn't do that. They're still sending out paper tickets, and so you have to have the paper tickets, and so I'm kind of surprised that Ticketmaster hasn't gotten into the app thing, that they're still dealing with the paper tickets. So, but anyway, hopefully that'll come and kind of get me out of the pickle. But I don't know that. As I say, I just don't ever buy tickets to anything like that. If I buy tickets to a movie, of course they give you the ticket right there on the spot. This is the first time I've bought any tickets like this where they've come in the mail beforehand, and so I'm just not prepared to remember that got to have those tickets. But, you know, and it was obviously too far to drive, you know, to go to ride all the way back. That would have been ridiculous going back. So FedEx, I called FedEx, the local place there, before after I talked to my parents. And they said there should be no problem getting a Saturday delivery here in Arlington. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see what happens. If it would have been a load that I was delivering, of course I'd have the bills. You know, I wouldn't even, you know, that's one of the things I, you know, would never fail to check. But of course, with the tickets, you know, I have a table behind a love seat that I lay things on. And at first that's where I had them laying. And then I realized, you know, after my parents came home and they're in the house and people are kind of coming and going in my house, I realized I'd better move those things out of the way because, chances are they're liable to get misplaced if I just leave them laying there. So, you know, I put them in the bedroom on the shelf on the dresser. So, and I knew they were there. But I just didn't think about them. But I got everything else. So we'll just have to, you know, wait and see what happens. I think that pretty sure they'll come. And I guess as a last resort, if they don't, I can always show them, you know, go to the stadium and show them the email that I, you know, verifying that I did purchase the tickets, because the email tells me seat numbers and everything. I don't know if they'd accept that or not, but what a mess. I couldn't believe that I did that, but I did it. And so, as I say, hopefully FedEx will be able to fix the problem, and I'm sure they will be. So, in any case, got to the motel after, you know, it took quite a while to get from probably at least an hour or more it took to get from the IKEA store down here to Arlington to the motel. Of course, it was still kind of rush hour. You still kind of had the, you know, it was probably right in the middle of it, actually. And or still kind of the aftermath of it. And so it took quite a while to get from, at least an hour, to get from IKEA back down here to the, you know, down here to the motel. And so it was probably about 7:00 when we got here to the motel and then got checked in. And when we left this morning, it was cool. And then and part of the way it was still fine. And then once we got into southern Oklahoma, it started getting hot. And of course, got into North Texas, and it was pretty warm. I don't know. The temperature was probably probably approaching 100 degrees, you know, probably depending on where we were at. So it was pretty hot, and ended up sweating quite a bit. Although I really wasn't as wet as I could have been, but you know, it was kind of a warm ride, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But you know, the being in the stop and go traffic between, you know, where IKEA is to this motel, it was in quite a bit of stop and go traffic that, you know, it kind of went on and on and on. That was more of a problem, because once I was moving, I was kind of going down the road at regular highway speeds. I was still sweating a little bit, but not bad. But of course, being kind of trapped in the traffic and, you know, kind of inching forward, not very fast, it was pretty hot out there. And that's where I was probably ended up sweating the most. So anyway, so far so good. I hope that the tickets get here. I think they probably will. As I say, FedEx is pretty darned reliable usually, and so hopefully the tickets will show up. And I'm also planning on, I have a niece and her husband that actually live here in Dallas. And so what I'm hoping happens, because I've been texting her back and forth, and you know, they want to meet us for lunch. So hopefully what can happen is that she and her husband can come to the motel. I've sent them the address for this motel. Hopefully they can come to the motel and kind of pick us up, and then, you know, we can go somewhere to eat, and then they can bring us back. And so that's what I'm hoping for anyway. Or we, you know, if push came to shove, we could meet them somewhere, but it would be easier. It would really be easier if they would just kind of come to the motel and pick us up. And so that, I'm hoping that'll work out too. So, you know, because I've been texting. I originally texted her, I don't know, 2 or 3 days ago to let her know that we were coming down here. And so she's aware of it. So hopefully that'll work out as well. But and then maybe at some point tomorrow, maybe we can go by the Fry's Electronics. There's a nice Fry's Electronics store. There's actually several around here in the Dallas area, but the really big one is that I like is down in the south part of Dallas along Interstate 20. That really isn't too far from here in Arlington. Would like to go to that store, because that store probably actually is not that many miles from here. So from this motel, the motel is just a couple of miles. You can look up the street. It's Division Street. You can look up the street and see the dome of Texas, or the Cowboys Stadium, the new Cowboys Stadium. Now my niece actually, I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago, the company that she was working for, she ended up having to do work in Cowboys Stadium, and they actually gave her a pink cowboy hat, or I'm sorry, a pink hard hat. And so she was able to keep that as a souvenir. She still has it. So she should know all about, since she worked in there, she should know all about Cowboys Stadium, and she should be able to kind of tell us, where to go in at and where to park at, and that, those types of things. So, but anyway, that thought I'd just record a little update, and probably, I'll carry this recorder with me tomorrow, and maybe be able to record some updates as, you know, kind of the day as the day progresses.
Washington, Lincoln, and King, they are the American soldier. Each gave their whole life to America. And what they've built lasted 236 years. But...
So now it's the morning after the night before. So it's today's Sunday. It's about, a little bit after 8 a.m. this morning. And so the tickets did come. FedEx was reliable. It proved itself reliable once again. The tickets came. The FedEx came from my parents. I'm guessing around maybe 11:30 or so yesterday morning. Then my niece and her husband came, and we went to a Mexican restaurant called Chewy's. It's a kind of a Texas chain. And then pretty decent. And then after that, they had never been to a Fry's Electronics, and so we went to the this Fry's Electronics here, and it's actually here in Arlington, not far, not too many miles from the motel here, and looked around in there, and then they brought us back to the motel, and then I guess it was probably around getting close to 5 o'clock, we went down to Texas Stadium, found a place to park, and then kind of ended up waiting for them to open up this gate, and then waiting for them to, after they did that, we all kind of lined up outside the, like a main, you know, like a great big entrance. And then I guess it was probably around 6 o'clock or so, they allowed us to come in, and it was a good thing that I went ahead and got the tickets, because they scanned, you know, gave the gal their, you know, and there was a bunch of different people that were doing it, gave her the tickets, and they scanned them with this barcode reader and, you know, sent us on through. So, but at first, you know, there was a little bit of confusion. It said 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. on the tickets. And I don't know if there was a little confusion. That was supposedly 8 p.m. Eastern time or whatever. But you do not sell tickets for an event like that and say 8 p.m. and, you know, in the central time zone, and it's supposed to be 8 p.m. Eastern time. If you want it to start at 7 p.m., you say 7 p.m. local time. So the event started at 8 p.m. Central Time, so we were in there well over an hour, just kind of sitting there, and people were coming, and the bulk of people showed up within the last 20 to 30 minutes. And the stadium was... There were a few empty seats here and there, but it was pretty much full. You know, about as full as you're going to get a place like that. They didn't fill the upper two decks because the sound was, apparently the sound quality was just too horrific up there. That place was never designed for someone giving a speech. So, pretty interesting. Interesting time, enjoyed it, would do it again. Of course, you know, Glenn Beck was there and all of his people, and they had big giant TV, and they broadcast the whole thing on GBTV. So it's kind of interesting watching the live thing versus watching the video production, you know, the TV version up on that giant screen. That was, you know, it's like you're watching the sausage being made. It's now several days later. I've been back at work. I guess this is about the third day, if I'm thinking correctly. So, I've been very busy since I came back to work. You know, I had intended to record a podcast the day I actually came back to work. I think that was Tuesday, I believe it might have been, that I actually came back to work. They sent a load on Monday, but that load didn't load until Tuesday afternoon in Russellville, Arkansas, and then that load, I don't even remember where it delivered to now. It delivered to Union City, Tennessee. And so then they had me pick a load up yesterday. That was early yesterday morning. They had me pick a load up at Covington, Tennessee. And I'm on that load now. That load has three drops. The first drop delivered last night at Nicholasville, Kentucky. And then the second drop, I'm delivering it right now. They're unloading it. Should be getting about done. I'm at Cincinnati, Ohio. And then the third and final drop delivers to, in the morning, it delivers to Livonia, Michigan. So, you know, so far so good. I had to have them call and adjust the... The first drop there at Nicholasville, Kentucky, originally they had it for 8 p.m. yesterday evening Eastern Time, and it had to have them back it off until midnight. I think I got there about their time, Eastern Time. I got there about 10:30, so I was about 2.5 hours past the original appointment time. So got that unloaded, and then wasn't able quite to get here to, supposed to be here at Cincinnati at 10 a.m. this morning Eastern Time, but couldn't do that because of the hours of service. So I stopped, I found a truck stop that had one parking spot left, don't know where it was about 65 miles south of here from where I'm at right now. It was down in northern Kentucky on Interstate 75, and so... that's where I took my break at, and then I left there as soon as I could this morning after my break was over, and they readjusted the appointment time here. It was supposed to be 10 a.m. They readjusted it up to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and so I got here about 5 minutes after, and they backed me right into the door, and then I've been here since then. Right now, I've been here about an hour and 15 minutes or so. It's 3:16 right now, Eastern Time. So, now I may or may not have to get the reefer unit worked on. It I don't know, earlier today, it messed up. It was running, but it had an alarm code, and it said that the alternator, I looked at the alarm code and it said alternator not charging. So I sent a breakdown message to the breakdown department, and they said, well, take it, there's a carrier dealer here in Cincinnati they told me to take it to. But so in the meantime, the alarm code went away all on its own, and it seems to be, everything seems to be operating normally the last time I looked. So now I sent a message back to the breakdown department, asking them, well, should I go ahead and get it checked out, or, you know, telling them that the alarm code had gone away on its own, should I go ahead and get it checked out, or should I just wait and see what happens? And so they've been waiting for them to send a message back, and hopefully they'll send a message back before I have to leave here. You know, they're still working on it. They're still, right now, the truck's still shaking, so there's, you know, forklift's still in there, getting stuff out, and so hopefully they'll respond to my message before I have to leave here. So But anyway, it's very warm again. I don't know what the temperature is here. I'm guessing it's probably in the 90s, and since you know Cincinnati, so it's relatively relatively humid, but not overbearing. It's not really that bad. Of course, these people around here are complaining about it, but would you rather have this or would you rather have snow? You know, so just wait and it'll be cold and you'll have snow. So been, you know, very busy the past few days, and as I say, I was meaning to record a podcast and kind of talk about the Glenn Beck thing and so on and so forth, but just haven't had time. So maybe, you know, I'm hoping that I'll be able to do that later today. It just kind of depends on, you know, how soon if I have to get this reefer unit fixed, and I can even record the podcast if they do want me to get it checked out. I'll still take it over there and I can still work on it. I'm guessing about another 350 miles from here to Livonia, Michigan. That's just, I'm kind of guessing, because I think I looked yesterday I looked and it was 3-something on up there. So and it may not even be that far, because Livonia, I believe, I think it's kind of north of the Detroit area, and I believe it's right along Interstate 75. And of course, that's, I'm on Interstate 75 right now, basically just maybe a mile from it, so in the north part of Cincinnati. So just have to wait and see what they say. Wait and see what they say to do. So in any case, I had intended to maybe make some more. I did make a couple of recordings while I was in Dallas, and I don't know, when I assemble this, I'll probably play those first. So you've probably already heard those recordings, and I had intended to make more, but you know, I just ended up kind of getting sidetracked, and that's kind of how it goes. You've probably already heard the recordings. When I assemble this, you'll have already heard the recordings that I made when I was in Dallas. And also, I made a couple while I was inside the stadium, but I forgot to bring the Zoom H2 with me. So I just used my iPod, and I haven't listened to those recordings. It was pretty noisy in there, so I don't know how those recordings came out. So we'll just have to see. Just have to see what happens. But, you know, the Glenn Beck thing, basically, you know, I've thought about this a lot. And he's got the right message. It all kind of ends up being about the individual, but it's also really about the family. And if the individual is functional, then the family unit becomes functional. And if you dysfunctionalize individuals, it dysfunctionalizes the family unit. It destroys the family unit, and there is no society possible without the family unit. That's the dream. The dream of these progressives is to create a society devoid of the family unit, do away with the family unit, make the state, you know, the state is God, and the state is in charge of, raising and educating the kids and so on and so forth, and sort of engineering society via the state. And of course, you have to have a bunch of externalized people. You can't have people that have genuine souls or genuine identity. And a soul, what is a soul? That's an interesting question. Interesting thing to think about. It seems sort of like a nebulous term, but what is it really? You know, what does it mean when you lose your soul? And I believe that when it comes down to how do you lose your soul, you lose your identity. You lose your genuine God-given identity, and you've basically lost your soul. And it's not an instant process. It happens by, I think in large part it happens by degree. And you know, so the question becomes, how do you hold on? How do you come back to your original identity? How do you stop from losing more of it? Because we all come into this world, you know, there's the idea of we're born in sin, meaning that we're sort of born in a hypnotic state to a certain extent. We're born with this proclivity to want to play God in our own minds, to sort of separate from the identity that God gives us so that we can be our own identity, and we end up losing, you know, we end up losing our original identity. You know, we come into the world and we go through a season where we lose our original identity. We end up becoming externalized, kind of an externalized false identity. Now, some people are happy with that externalized false identity. It's a mess of pottage, really. But some of us aren't. And so we, you know, the question becomes, how do you hold on to what you have, that original identity? How is it that you lose it? You have to understand how you lose it. And once you understand how, but you got to want to understand how, but once you understand how, then it actually becomes relatively easy to stop losing it and to actually get it back, start getting it back. But that requires that you give up this seemingly little, you know, thing that everyone has and we tend to hold on to, and it's called resentment. And somehow we think that this resentment is the key to our success as human beings, when in fact it's our detriment. That's how we lose our identity. That's how we become destroyed. You know, how is it that people can start out with the best of intentions and end up just turning into rotten so-and-sos? You know, and there's plenty of examples of it. Look in the media. Look at the, you know, people, politicians. There's a lot of politicians that start out with good intentions, and you know they want to do such and such, and then they end up because of this resentment, this problem. It's an Achilles heel. They end up losing their soul, basically, and they end up with an identity that's fake. It's false. It's a false identity. But I'm seeing some positive. There's some positive signs. But people still need to understand. You know, I think, you know, maybe in the short term things can be turned around. But people still need to understand this process. How do you hold on? How do you find your genuine identity? How do you hold on to it? How do you not become corrupted? And of course, you become corrupted through resentment. But again, you know, people think that somehow they think resentment is something good, and that you can somehow turn something that's so negative into a positive. Well, you can't. I'm here to tell you, you cannot. It cannot be done. Now, what part of can't do you fail to understand? So, you know, it just remains to be seen what happens. You know, the real danger that we face is all of these kids that have been born outside of marriage. And there's some of them, as I've said many times, there's some of them that will always survive for whatever reason. But there's plenty of them that just never do as good. They never do as well, and they become fodder for a future dictatorship. And the future is, we're very close to the future being right now. Now again, you know, we might be able to come back. It's possible that we can come back. In fact, I'm kind of cautiously optimistic that things can be turned around. But we're dangerously close. We're right on the precipice of losing the country, losing our future, losing our souls. But on the positive side, you know, we are not in charge of the experiment. We like to think we are, but we are not in charge of the experiment. And when it comes down to it, it's like Glenn Beck says, God is not, how does he put that? God is not, I can't put it the way he does, I don't remember the phrase, but, or God, he says God is not neutral when it comes to man's freedom. And so if it comes to the point where the United States sort of, you know, which has kind of been the torchbearer for the world, if it comes to the point where we go down, we kind of go black and then the whole world goes black, I don't think God allows that to happen. I think that, I believe that it can and it will be turned around. Now, that's not to say that we don't face some tough times. But, you know, that be that as it may, it doesn't really matter what the times are. It doesn't really matter whether you're prosperous or not. That's kind of irrelevant. The really important part is, who are you? Where do you get your identity from? That's the most important part. And, you know, there's this idea, people have this idea that, and I think, and I know I had it for a long time. It's kind of a natural thing to have. There's this thing that, well, if we can just fix the politics, if we can just elect the right person, fix the politics, then everything's going to be fine. Or we can change the laws and everything's going to be fine. No, it isn't. You can't hold on to your immorality and have laws as well. It can't be done. We've got to change ourselves. We've got to start looking at ourselves. We've got to start looking at our own, you know, kind of cleaning our own house. And you do that by facing reality. You can't roll your sleeves up and fix yourself, but you can. The one thing that we have is the option of looking at ourselves. That's the one thing that we have, and that can change everything. That really can. And it's not explainable. I can't explain how that happens. I can't explain why it is. But it's an almost magical thing that can happen. If enough of us would just be willing to face reality, to face our Creator, to face what we've become, if enough of us are willing to do that, then things will turn around. And our Creator ends up using the people that, you know, these people that are evil, the people that are sort of externalized, He ends up using those people to, you know, sort of as instruments in the experiment. You know, as elements of the experiment. And so it's about us. It's not about the evil people. You know, the evil people are evil. When it really comes down to it, it's about us. And those of us who are able to see the truth, those of us who love the truth, love the identity that our Creator gives us, it's about us, you know, kind of putting us to the test, and it's about us having a willingness to embrace that identity and to let go of the resentment. And that's what it's really about. So, as I say, it kind of remains to be seen what happens, and times could get tough. You know, sometime in the past couple of years, I've gotten to the point where I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that there's a God. And I can't prove it to you, but I know it. I just know it. And I'm to the point now where, and I have been for some time, where regardless of what happens to me, whether I'm prosperous, whether I'm not prosperous, etc., 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 regardless of what happens, nothing from this world can interfere, can get between me, whatever I am as a point of awareness, nothing can interfere with that, me as a point of awareness, and my Creator. Nothing can interfere with that. And as such, that, beyond anything else, that is a source, you know, you want to call it happiness? Well, what is happiness? Is happiness having a piece of chocolate or getting excited over a new car or getting excited over this or getting excited over that? No, it's not. Is this an emotional feeling? If you know that there's a Creator, is it an emotional feeling? Actually not. It's just kind of it's almost like a sense of well-being. And what I'm saying is there's nothing in this world that can interfere with that sense of well-being that I have. And it's not an emotion, and I can't explain it beyond that. So that's why I say it doesn't really matter what happens with us. I think, you know, they're saying right now that there's a drought in the United States. Half of the corn crop has basically been destroyed. I don't think a lot of people, they're reporting the story. A lot of people aren't paying attention to that. That's going to cause food prices to go up because of the way our food system is structured in the United States. Everything is based on corn and corn syrup. You know, everything's based on corn. And, of course, the government subsidizes this corn to be grown, and then that's where we get all the corn syrup and all the derivatives from corn. And half of that corn crop is dead. Well, that's going to mean that the food prices are going to necessarily skyrocket, right? And that's going to create some problems. So, but nonetheless, if we come back to our Creator, if we come back to this identity, then it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter in the end whether we have high food prices or low food prices or whatever the food prices. And it doesn't really matter. And so the piper, you know, is going to be paid, and the piper, there's a lot of people that are already kind of paying the piper, but that's just, you know, it's just food, and you know, we'll you know, I think, you know, regardless of, you know, the food prices do go up, well, then, you know, they're going to go up, and that's that. But I think we'll, you know, we can still survive that. Now you go back in the Bible and you read the some of those stories in the Bible, and you know, they had real famines, real problems, and so you always have natural disasters. Those are things that they're always with us. And they're actually pretty evenly distributed. Now, so the natural disasters are evenly distributed. You have droughts and hurricanes and tornadoes and, you know, snowstorms and so on and so forth. those are pretty evenly distributed. What is not evenly distributed is how cultures handle those natural disasters. Now, Judeo-Christian, you know, cultures that are based on Judeo-Christian values statistically handle those disasters much, much better than non-Judeo-Christian cultures. So, our value system really makes a huge difference in how we handle those cultures. In other words, how functional are we as a culture? How functional are we as a country? That's what really determines how we fare, you know, kind of fare overall. Okay, so I've assembled the clips that I recorded. There were a couple of clips from Dallas that I recorded with the Zoom H2 in the motel room, and then there were some clips in between there that I actually recorded. There were little short clips that I recorded in the stadium with my iPod that, you know, I had that in my pocket. And the audio in there, it was pretty echoey. That stadium was never designed. It's designed as a football stadium. It was never really designed as a venue for someone to give a speech or to produce musical performances. But it was necessary to have that size of a place in order to pull off what Glenn Beck pulled off. And, you know, you have tens of thousands of people show up then from all across the country and even around the world, then you need a giant stadium like that. And it was a pretty busy stadium, pretty well packed. There were some seats that were up in the kind of the upper tier seats. Well, now the two upper tiers, the so-called nosebleed seats, they didn't even bother trying to sell those because no one was in those because they decided right away that the audio would have been so bad that they wouldn't even sell that to anybody. So the two top tiers of seats were completely empty, and then the ones below that were, most of them were filled. There were a few in that next row down, the top row that they actually sold, there were a few seats. There might have been, I don't know, it's hard to estimate. Maybe, I just don't know, maybe 1,000 or two. But, the thing was, pretty well packed. There were, lots and lots of people in there. But in any case, really enjoyed it. It was a tremendous experience. So, would do it again. If there was some other event like that to go to, and this was kind of it wasn't a political event, and it really wasn't a religious event. It was more of a, I don't know, it was kind of it was designed to be sort of an uplifting event, and it was kind of like a Super Bowl halftime show, because it had music, and then it was, of course, Glenn Beck spoke, and in between times, and his speech was more of a performance than it was really a speech, but, and the thing lasted for about 3 hours, and so there you had some very talented musicians and so on and so forth, and so it was really well done, really a nice performance that they put on, and so it was well worth taking the time and going down to Dallas and doing that. So while I was in Dallas, never had been to an IKEA store before, and so my friend and I. Friend that rode, we both rode our motorcycles down there to Dallas. We went to, when we first got to Dallas, we went right to the IKEA store before we even went to the motel, and never had been to an IKEA store before, and it's quite an experience. They have a restaurant in those stores, which I really didn't know that. I think maybe I've heard people mention that before, and then once I realized, I decided I was going to go to an IKEA store, then I started kind of people were telling me about the experience, and I started, you know, looking at it more closely and looking at their, they have an iPad catalog and what have you, and they've got, of course, they've got a pretty good web presence, website presence. So in any case, the restaurant is good, and it's very inexpensive. Food is great. The Swedish meatballs is all I can say. So really good food and really inexpensive. So they, you know, that now the store in Dallas, it's got two floors. There's an you know, the ground floor, and then you got an upper floor, and it's kind of like you enter this, and you, there are shortcuts to different sections, but once you basically go in, and you just kind of want to follow the path around, and it sort of leads you through all the different departments. Now, I didn't buy anything because I really couldn't, you know, if I would have bought anything, it would have had to have been small, whatever it was, because I didn't really have, couldn't haul much back on the motorcycles. But, so didn't really buy anything, but did spend, I don't know, we were there probably at least 3 hours or so, kind of, you know, walking around this, you know, the both levels of the store, and I was very impressed with it. Very impressed with the quality of the merchandise. The prices were impressive. You know, it would be, I don't know, if I would have had a pickup or something, I would have probably ended up buying, you know, maybe buying a thing or two. But pretty interesting. If you've never been to an IKEA store, it's well worth the time to go to one. And you know, they're quite amazing stores. They have just about everything you can think of when it comes to home furnishings, and while you're there, might as well be prepared to eat. But it's really quite an amazing experience. Also, I have a niece that lives in Dallas, and so she and her husband came and picked us up at the motel Saturday noon, and we went to eat, and then afterwards we went to one of the Fry's Electronics there in Dallas, and her husband had never been to Fry's, and Fry's is a pretty amazing place as well. They have just about every electronic item that you can possibly think of. They've got entire rows of, you know, they've got an entire aisle of computer cases, for example, if you're going to build your own computer, and just aisle after aisle after aisle of different parts, consumer electronic devices. It's really quite an amazing place. So, went and looked at that, and then they brought us back to the motel, and then later in the evening then we went to the Cowboys Stadium, and really had a good time. Now, of course, the ride down there was late July, now it's August, but very hot. And the ride back on came back on Sunday. That was, I think that might have been even hotter than the ride down, but survived okay. And I don't know, the thing with that is it's just best to not, if you're going to be, you know, like, you know, on the motorcycle and it's very hot, the thing to do is just to stop every so many miles. And we got to, on the way back, we got to where we were stopping about every 50 miles and kind of cooling off, and that's really the way to do it. There's really no point in trying to push yourself, especially if the temperature, if the ambient temperature is warmer than your body temperature, then obviously your body is really having to work, and it's having to evaporate liquid in order to maintain a lower body temperature than the ambient air. And so in that case, it's a good idea to be not only drinking water, but also consuming minerals, specifically The two big ones that you really lose are sodium or salt, or, and you know, potassium is another one that you lose. So it's a good idea to kind of, you know, think about replenishing those if you're really, really sweating. And you know, while I was moving, I wasn't really conscious of sweating so much. Then of course, once I would stop, then I really kind of became conscious of it if I was out in it for just even a few minutes. But moving, really wasn't aware of sweating as much. But of course, the moving air simply makes cooling more efficient. And you know, the sweat's coming out. The liquid is evaporating. It just doesn't, once I've stopped, then it had a chance to really accumulate. So I just kind of took it easy, and it was an enjoyable ride back, and made it home, and you know, it really had a good time. So definitely would recommend, if there's a Glenn Beck event in your area, I would highly recommend that you go to it, because he's saw him at a distance, didn't really get anywhere, you know, because I mean, we're talking, you know, I don't know how many people were there, you know, there were, you know, I don't know, there was one report, there was like, what'd they say, 67,000 people, but it was probably more than that. I really don't know. Then I don't know if they've ever really said, but there was a, you know, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people there, and you know, you're not, I don't know how you would, I'm sure there were people that brought their Glenn Beck books, and they probably formed a line afterwards, hoping to get him to sign their books or whatever. I'm sure that probably happened. But didn't, you know, once the thing was over, didn't really want to kind of hang around and, you know, be a be a kind of a hangers-on, you know, just so I'm sure he gets plenty of that. And it's, I don't know, that can be you know, while I'm sure in the beginning it's kind of flattering, it probably, I could see where it would quickly get kind of old. So, but so anyway, I guess probably go ahead and cut this off. We're hitting about an hour now. I need to get this uploaded and get to bed so I can get up in the morning and unload the rest of this load. I'm at the third drop here. I had a 3-drop load, got rid of the first two earlier. So now I'm at Livonia, Michigan, and then there's just, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 pallets that come off here, and then the load's unloaded, and then be off on the next load. So, in any case, hope everyone. Before I go, I just happen to remember. I do have a comment. I do have an audio comment. I almost forgot. I want to go ahead and play this. This is from Elena, and she's commenting on. I did the interview with Roy Masters. That would have been last Wednesday. So that was about, I guess, a little over a week ago. I'm going to go ahead and play this before this, you know, while this comment, you know, it's, I've already had it for about a week. So let's go ahead and play this. Here is Elena.
Hi, Tom. Elena here. And I just wanted to give you some feedback regarding your appearance on radio station KSCO this morning. And I just wanted to say that it was really a fluke that I caught your tweet announcing your appearance, and even more of a fluke that I was able to catch the stream. I find that a lot of times I'm unable to listen to streaming media without losing the connection, you know, quite often. But, you know, you sounded really good. You sounded very relaxed and very comfortable. And I believe you dropped off when one caller phoned in to say how pleased he was to hear your view on life and your opinion and how refreshing it was. He was very enthusiastic and was very happy that he had tuned in today to catch, you know, your show. And it is unfortunate that at that point your connection dropped. So also I noted that I don't recall at any time that you were able to give your URL on air. I know that you did so for Roy Masters, but I don't recall you ever being able to do that. So hopefully the programming director will include a link back to your show and you'll be able to gain new listeners that way, because it sounded like you had a couple of callers who were very intrigued by your viewpoints, and one of them, as I shared, was just very enthusiastic and happy. So anyway, just wanted to let you know that I did catch it. The material you covered was, of course, very familiar to me, being that I listened to your show, have been listening to your podcast for several years now. So the information that you shared and everything was not new for me, but I'm sure for some it was. And that's a good thing. You know, that's, I'm sure, why you podcast is to spread your message and to try and influence change for the better. So anyway, hope you're having a good evening, and I hope that you're able to secure a recording of that radio show. It was great that you were on for 2 hours. I don't know if they're recording it so that you can then turn it into like a podcast and include it in your feed or not, but I certainly hope so. Okay, Tom, take care.
Okay, thank you, Elena. Okay, now I kind of deliberately never mentioned my own website. And I don't know, I guess I could, towards the end, I could have probably, I could have done it at any time, actually. But I sort of didn't do it because I didn't know really how it was going to go. You know, this is the first time I've actually hosted a radio show. And, you know, obviously I've done lots and lots of podcasting. This is the first time I've ever hosted a live radio show, and so I didn't really know. And of course, we're talking, you know, this is in Santa Cruz, this like liberal mecca, so I didn't know how it was going to go, and I really didn't want to invite you know, the potential, you know, you just never know what you're going to invite when you appear on a, you know, on a station in an area like that. But as it turned out, everything went pretty well, and the callers that did call in, I was very pleased with them. There was that one guy that kind of admitted that he was schizophrenic in the call. He came right out and said it, and so I was able to kind of graciously usher him off the air. And then of course Michael was telling me that he should have, you know, they should have warned me about that guy, and they should have never put him on the air, because they, you know, all of them are kind of aware that that guy's there. And Michael says that he's actually quite a nice guy, and he's even ate meals with him, but the guy is schizophrenic, and he's just, you don't want to put him on the air. So, but I was able to kind of, really politely, quickly kind of get rid of him. And, what I really wanted to avoid was any kind of thing that might happen where people, you know, Roy Masters ends up getting into a huge confrontation with the callers, and then everything would get out of control. And that's what I was guarding against. But at the same time, I'll be doing this again in the future, and so there'll be plenty of opportunity for me to kind of promote my own website and my own podcast. But I kind of, you know, I just sort of deliberately didn't do it. And that, you know, that was just a choice that I made. I figured that if people really want to find out who I am, they can just, you know, Google Trucker Tom, or, you know, if somebody was really curious, they could call the radio station and find out. you know, and of course I mentioned my own podcast, and so, you know, you type in Trucker Tom Podcast into any search engine, and or even even iTunes, and you're going to find it pretty quick. So, but I just kind of deliberately did that. I didn't really want to, didn't know what was going to happen, and I didn't really want to invite the potential, you know, I just didn't know what I was doing, you know, didn't know what I might be inviting, because it was Santa Cruz. So, but anyway, I didn't, you know, did enjoy the experience, and I will be doing it again, maybe the next time I go home, do it again when I, you know, because it really, I need to have the DSL connection in order for that program to work really well, and don't know how it would work on 3G. I'm sure it would work on some 3G connections. It would probably work just fine, but probably we'll try to do that when I go home again. And as I say, it was quite an enjoyable experience, so that, you know, should be able to promote myself, promote my website, promote my podcast the next time. Yeah, and so next time, I don't know that I'll, you know, I may interview Roy Masters again. I would love to do that. I may do the same thing. I may spend an hour, the first hour with me, just kind of talking, and I do want to, you know, kind of learn the ropes on taking calls, take more calls, just, you know, kind of me give a maybe a 10-minute monologue or whatever. And then start, you know, see if I can drum up some callers and start talking, you know, whatever, you know, just kind of the typical radio stuff. And then maybe the second hour, talk to Roy Masters again. That, I think that might be lots of fun to try, you know. So, so anyway, probably, you know, go ahead and cut this off now that I've, you know, I was going to do that, what, 12 minutes ago? So anyway, hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.